Luke 18, and let's begin at verse number 1. He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? Amen. Shall he find faith on the earth? Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to preach along those lines this morning. Shall he find faith upon the earth? And I'm just going to ask you a question. Are you going to survive? Will you survive the delay? Praise God. Hallelujah. He's coming soon. That's another song I found myself singing yesterday morning. Began to meditate upon that song. Said he's coming soon. He's coming soon. And with joy, we'll welcome his returning. It may be morning, it may be night or noon, but we know he's coming soon. Praise God. Do you still believe it? Do you still believe he's coming? I do. I do. And I believe that he's not going to delay. Praise God. I just want to be ready when he comes. Let's love him here this morning. Thank you, Jesus. God, we're looking unto you.
Not only the author and the finisher of our faith, God, but the one that holds tomorrow. The one, O Lord Jesus, God, in whom our times are in his hands. The one that is faithful, Lord Jesus, to the things that he has promised. I pray, God, that you would help us, Lord. Oh, God, help us today, help us today. Help us today, help us today. Help us today, help us today, help us today, Lord. In the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord.
Praise God, praise God. Amen, amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. Amen. What a conglomerate of mixed beliefs the bucket of this world holds concerning the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you were to ask, I still believe that there is, by a vast majority of people that believe that at some point in time, the Lord is going to come back. Beyond how that he comes back and when he comes back begins to create the differences of opinions and scriptural beliefs. But in that mess of theology, each one basically being a interpreter of scripture, for whatever feelings that they may possess, begins to cloud the look upon this return. First of all, you have those that begin to seek after the Lord, and they give their life unto God. Some of them accept the Lord as their personal Savior. Some believe on the Lord. Some confess with their mouth upon the Lord. Some shake a preacher's hand. Some sign a church affirmation statement. Some join a church roster. And some may basically just confess their sins, and then they are a part of the church. And in that, it begins to thicken even greater, because you pollute the waters with the basic knowledge or the basic thinking, humanistic thinking of the doctrine of once saved, always saved. That a person can simply believe upon the Lord, and then after that, it doesn't really matter what they do at that. We highly suggest that a person stays living good, that a person goes to an assembly of their choice, somewhere down the line maybe. But nevertheless, there is nothing that can pluck you out of the Father's hand, they say. And I know that everything that I have spoken of here this morning, that in some point, in some form of translation, it may be in the Bible. We can read in the book of Romans that confession is made with the mouth. We can read in the book of Acts chapter number 2 that Peter was saying that all that name the name of Christ shall be saved. We can talk about some other issues and some things that are in there, but we would have to come to the conclusion that we are at today, and that is why that you are here this morning, is because that we don't believe that doctrine. You do not join a church, but rather you are born into the church. There is no other way of getting into the church outside of the new birth plan of salvation. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I know that Acts 20 and 21 said that if you would call upon the name of the Lord, that you shall be saved. Jesus said that all that nameth or all that saith, Lord, Lord, shall not be saved. And so you've got to go to begin to understand the concept of that. I was reading this morning, and some acquaintance of a friend in years past had a something upon their Facebook page that caught my attention. And it was the picture of Scripture. And in this Scripture, back in Deuteronomy chapter number 28 and verses, I want to say 44 and 45, the Bible speaks about how that the stranger would infiltrate inside of the land, and how that he would be the lender, and that the people of God would be the borrower, and that the people of God would be slaves unto them. And the Scripture, obviously, from some different translation, basically spoke that the foreigners would come into the land and that they would rule over the land. And basically, the inspiration or that the thought process that is there is that the foreigner would basically overwhelm the people of the nation, and they would take over the nation, and that they would be the lender, and that the citizens of the land basically would be the borrower, and that they would be slaves to the foreigner. And it was basically insinuating that is the time and the life that we are living in, and that the such so-called foreigners have invaded America, and that now they are, that we Americans are a slave to the lenders. And I can see how that they may feel that, but when you begin to take the verse into context, it means nothing of that sort. Absolutely, it does not mean anything of that sort. What it really says, and you know this, but what it really states is that the people of God have turned away from God, and that they are not giving unto God, and therefore they experience the curses of God. And because that they have withheld their tithe and offering from God, they are cursed of the Lord. And therefore, they are going to experience the tragedy that God no longer blesses them, but rather God gives them over to somebody else. And so throughout all of Scripture, we see that there are a plethora of Scriptures that are taken out of context. Out of context. You go even into the book of Acts, chapter number 2, And you will see that Peter begins to preach to them and begins to quote the prophet Joel, stating that in the last days I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, saith the Lord. And then he said, all that calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, I just simply have a question to ask. And that is that in verse number 37, when the men and brethren, when the philosophical, when the religious zealots who were in that area due to Pentecost, when they came unto that, and they began to say, men and brethren, what must we do? And they said specifically, to be saved. Why didn't Peter just simply say, I've already told you. Call upon the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. They specifically asked, men and brethren, what must we do? Then Peter said unto them, and he gave them the requirements, this is what you've got to do if you want to be saved. Repent. And, not or, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. There were three things that are necessary to salvation in that simple little verse. And some people say, I'd rather take the words of Jesus over the words of Peter. No, you don't. You just want to pick and choose whatever fits your fancy. That's really what you want to do. Because Jesus said, not everybody that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said, repent or perish. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. Jesus said, except no other way, except a man be born again of water, baptism, and the Spirit, gift of the Holy Ghost, he shall not enter into the kingdom of God. Amen. Get off of this justification. Amen. That you feel like this. Amen. Let's go back and let's see what Jesus said. Jesus said, there is no other way. Amen. Do not lie to yourself. Don't justify your actions. The only way that a man is going to be saved is you must be born again. And you got to be born again of the water and the Spirit, or you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. I want to be saved. I want to be saved. I want to be saved. Amen. I got a simple little question for you here today. Do you want to be saved, or you just want to feel good? Amen. I'm here today to tell you that when you get saved, you're going to feel good. Amen. The Word of God is not going to condemn you. The Word of God is going to help you. The Word of God is going to save you. Amen. I'd rather the Word of God save me than judge me. Amen. In the end time. Preacher, preach to me. Tell me what I got to do to be saved. Don't cut the corners. Don't water it down. Don't candy coat it. Tell me, men and brethren, what must we do? Praise God. Amen, amen. Well, preacher, how do you explain Romans 10? Amen. It's very, very simple. Go to Romans 1. And when you go to Romans 1, you'll see that Paul was writing to the church. To the church. He wasn't writing to the general public. He wasn't writing to the unsaved. He wasn't writing to the sinners that was on the outside. He was writing to the church. Amen. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, called to be a servant. Amen. Separated by the gospel of God. Amen. And he was writing unto the church. To the church that is in Rome. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. You got to be able to understand it. Amen. That's why when you get over into Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 4, amen, you will see that Paul, writing to that same group of people, amen, he begins to tell them, amen, that we were baptized with him unto death. You got to be baptized. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh, the world doesn't want to hear it. Just preach me an easy message. Just tell me that I'm okay. Amen. I'm going to preach you a love message. Amen. Rather than patting you on the back and making you feel good about yourself, I'm going to preach you a love message. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten, that whoso would believe on him should not perish but have everlasting life. And if you believe on him, you will do as he tells you to do.
Praise God. If I had a degree in business and I was an investor and that's how I made my living, and if I told you, look, if you believe on me, if you believe in me, I can take, you give me $100 a month and I promise you that within 40 years you'll be a millionaire. You say, well, that's crazy. That's out of the world. No, actually, that's very true. Due to compound interest and such. We've been talking about this in youth and such like that. But what I am saying is, if you believe on me, you'll do as I say. Right? If you believe on me, you'll do as I say. But if you don't believe in me, you'll keep your $100 in your pocket. Don't tell me that you believe on the Lord and you don't do as he says. When you believe on the Lord, you'll do as he said. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. I am amazed at the things that the Lord said that people did not believe. And one of the greatest things that I find so intriguing and ironic is that Jesus spoke oftentimes of his death. And not only in speaking oftentimes of his death, but he spoke of his ascension, his resurrection as well. And in reality, the only one that did not believe him were the disciples. Because when he passed away, they kind of went defunct. Thomas didn't even want to believe that he had risen from the dead. They all got upset and disbanded and went and did their own thing. And then when Mary came and she looks into the tomb and she sees that he's gone, she was surprised. And she ran and she told Peter and the rest of them. And when they ran into the tomb, they were shocked. But notice that the general world wasn't shocked. Because as a matter of fact, he had spoken, you tear this temple down and in 3 days I'll raise it up again. And it was the unbelievers that said, let's put some guards at his tomb. It was unbelievers that got together and that made all of this and said, look, he said this, and so let's do this. Let's prevent it from happening. They were the only ones that believed it possibly could happen. And then Jesus looked at his disciples and he said, I'm going away. And if I go away, I shall prepare a place for you. And if I go away, I'm going to come back unto you and I'm going to receive you unto myself. I'm going to prepare a place for you that where I am, ye may be also. Amen. And so the doctrine of the rapture, the doctrine of the saints' resurrection began to be put in, and Jesus spoke of it oftentimes. And Jesus would write or would speak in Matthew 24, and he said, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall the Son so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. And then he said, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this,
that if the good man of the house had known at what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. He began to speak, and he wrote of the things that would happen. Jesus said unto them in verse number 4, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see that ye be not troubled, for all of these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, a man and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places, and all of these are the beginning of sorrows. Jesus began to tell them the signs of the time. He told them, he said, I'm going to come back, and this is how that you're going to know when my coming is getting closer. As it were in the days of Noah, it's going to be in the last days when they were given in marriage and they were eating and drinking and they were just partying and carry on. It's going to be the same way. There's going to be no care. There's going to be no thought about tomorrow. There's not going to be any care about a resurrection or a rapture. It's going to be the same way. You're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars. Amen. But the end is not yet thereof. Kingdom is going to rise against kingdom. Amen. Russia is going to rise against Ukraine. China is going to rise with Russia. America is going to rise with Ukraine. You're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars. You're going to hear of earthquakes in diverse places. Hello. It's happening all over the face of this earth. Amen. Everywhere you look, the signs of the times, the things that Jesus said, watch, amen, watch, and you shall see it come to pass. I'm here today to declare it unto you. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. Amen. Paul wrote about it. And Paul said that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain. Amen. We which are alive and remain. He said shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. I don't care if it stumps science. I don't care if science don't understand it. I don't care what the atheist said. I don't care what the polytheist said. I don't care what the Jehovah Witness say. I don't care what anybody says outside of the Word of God. I'm here today to declare the day of the Lord is still coming. The day of the Lord shall happen. Are you ready for His return? Peter wrote, and he said, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the element shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. This is not going to be the second heaven. Amen. The Bible says that the earth is going to be consumed. Amen. That is going to be burned up. Oh, God. Amen. I remember just as a little child, born and raised upon an apostolic pew. Brother Woods, I remember when the preacher used to preach frequently about hell. Amen. And little kids would cuddle up next to mom and would get worried. And they would begin to whimper and begin to cry. And moms would begin to try, amen, to comfort them. I remember being 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old and hearing them preach about the coming of the Lord and being lost, amen, and being forever lost in a devil's hell. I remember them preaching, even in youth camps, amen, until the power, until the heat of hell almost could be felt and the stench of sulfur basically could be smelt, amen, and they painted such vivid pictures. Kids were screaming and crying. I can remember preaching oftentimes that happened on hell and people running to an altar of repentance and sliding in, weeping and crying. But in this day and age, I just want to say today that number one, we're living in a faithless generation. As it were in the days of Noah, nobody's thinking about the storm. Nobody's thinking about the problems. 9/11 can happen. And amen, about the only ones consumed and thinking about it are those in the vicinity. But just give us a few months and we'll be back to normal. And we're not going to think about it. Honey, the signs of the times are everywhere. Brother Tucker, he's still coming. Amen. Brother Charlie, he's still coming. Brother Deontay, he's still coming. Amen. We've got to make ourselves ready. Amen. But rather we would sit back and rather critique the preacher and critique his message and critique his motives, critique his words, critique his actions. Amen. Because we want to hear something soothing. We don't want to hear conviction anymore. We're living in a day and an age where teachers are basically forbidden to give grades on papers. Amen. Because they don't want those that were lazy and didn't study and made an F because they earned it. Amen. They don't want them to feel bad. Yeah. Yeah. We're raising a weak generation. A weak generation that when you ask them to do anything extra, they pout. They got hours to spend on devices. Got hours to sit around and not do anything. Amen. And when we ask them to do a little bit extra, they want to gripe and they want to complain. I'm preaching to the church here today. Church, it's time to wake up. We may not know the day nor the hour, but we know the signs of the times. There are things that are happening all around us. Amen. And every day and every week, prophecies are being fulfilled. And just because somebody preached in the 80s that the Lord was coming, and he didn't come in 88, and he didn't come in 89, it does not mean that he's not coming. He may not have come in the 1900s, and he may not have come up until this day in February of 2023, but my faith is still solid. I still believe that when he's good and ready, he's going to tell Michael to pick up the trumpet, put it to his lips, and to sound the trumpet and to call his children home. I want to be saved.
Revelations chapter number 12 and verse number 12 said, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, for the devil has released all of his fury, knowing that he hath but a short time. Amen. Jesus said that accept those. Let me just tell you how gung-ho the devil is. Amen. Jesus said that except those days were shortened, that the very elect would be deceived. You and I would be deceived. Preachers would begin to throw in the towel. Preachers would start embracing a doctrine of preterism because they get tired of preaching about the rapture that's supposed to take place. And they have to try to reason it out. Have to try to reason why that it's already happened. Why that it's not going to happen. Amen. Just so I'm just saying nothing has changed. He's still coming back. He's still coming back. But the worst, I'm oftentimes wondering in my mind, I wonder how many people actually helped Noah build the ark. I wonder how many people actually helped build the ark. I look at Noah, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, and I look at them and I say, how can four men get all of this wood up three stories high? I wonder how many of them actually were on the inside creating rooms in there. I wonder if there was anyone pitching within while somebody was on the outside pitching without. I wonder how many people actually walked inside of that ark at some given point during all of this. And the Bible called Noah a preacher of righteousness. And they got tired of him. They grew faint in hearing Noah preach about a storm that was coming. And Noah saying, look, and people were looking at him and saying, Noah, you're absolutely crazy. You've lost your mind. And Noah said, oh, no, 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 no. I've heard from God. And there is a flood that's coming. Noah, we don't even know what a flood is. There's water that's going to fall from the heavens. There's water that's going to spring up from the deep. And everybody thought it's just crazy old Noah. Hey, man, just that crazy old preacher. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Everybody wanted to criticize the preacher. Everybody wanted to pick apart the preacher. Hey, Noah, let me tell you how crazy you are. Here you are trying to get that stuff three stories high. You know, you can get the same square footage if you'd go a little bit longer and a little bit wider. Preacher, you know how crazy you are. Amen. You know, if you just compromise on your doctrine, and if you would just open up the sides a little bit and make it a little bit wider and a little bit longer, if you would just say, just believe on the Lord, if you would just say, it doesn't matter how you're baptized, you can be baptized Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, that's okay. If you would just open it up a little bit, amen, you might be able to have it a whole lot easier. We're not here to make it easier. We're here to promote, amen, the Word of God. Noah had to stand up and he said, look, it may be easier, but God said, amen, it may seem smarter, but God said you're going to make it so high. God said you're going to make it so wide. And God said there's going to be a flood. Noah, it's a whole lot easier to believe in something that has never happened, amen, than to believe in something. It's easier to believe in something that has happened than something that has never happened. And Noah kept preaching, and Noah kept building, and they kept scorning, and they kept laughing. Amen. And Noah had the door open. And one day Noah heard a voice from within side. Genesis chapter number 7. The Bible said that the Lord spoke unto Noah from within. And he told Noah and he said, come thou and all of thy family into the ark. Amen. If you want to find the Lord, you got to get into the church. Amen. Praise God. You got to get into the church. And so Noah and his family, they all went into there. And they're sitting around looking and they don't know. And amen, people are looking around and Noah, you're absolutely crazy. And here comes the animals and they go out and amen, you know, that alone should have alerted a whole lot of people. That alone would have caused me to say, whoa, maybe I just ought to join in with these donkeys or something and get on the ark. We're going to do something here because this isn't right. This isn't normal. This don't work. I never seen this happen before, but all of a sudden these animals coming out of nowhere and everything and stuff. Amen. This is miraculous. I think I'm about ready to join. Yeah.
Signs of the time were showing. And in the animals, amen, were listening unto the voice of God as God called them onto the ark. And then when they were on the ark, and then all of a sudden the door shut. And it didn't rain. And it didn't rain. And laugh, scorners laugh. Laugh, scorners laugh. But one day, a big drop hit somebody right in the forehead. What was that? The thunder clouds began to roll. The thunder rumbled. Lightning flashed. The winds picked up. Hello, America. We're hearing the thunder roll. We're seeing the lightning flash. We're feeling the winds picking up. And the water began to fall. And the wells from the deep began to break forth and began to come up. But somebody had been on the ark. I just want to know, are you going to be able to survive the delay? Because that's where we are right now. We've read it in the Bible. We've heard it over and over. You've read it in your Bible by yourself. You've heard preachers preach about it. Amen. You've looked upon it. You looked in your newspaper. You looked on your device. You looked on the internet. And you saw the great earthquake that just hit overseas. And the hundreds of thousands of people. Amen. The thousands of people that are dying. And the rubble that is everywhere. And you see all of the other earthquakes that are going on and everything that's happening. And you know what? Even since I've been here in the lovely state of Kansas, amen, there's been some things. You look around and say, you know what? I think we just had an earthquake. Did we just have an earthquake? Oh, well, it was in Oklahoma, but I felt it up here. Amen. What is going on? What is going on? And there's all kinds of things, as it were, in the days of Noah. And they were marrying and given in marriage. And there was all kinds of promiscuity and everything going on, and we see that in America today. But friend, it's not just in America, it's everywhere you look. Everywhere you look. And we sit here with our finger. I'm just going to preach for a little bit longer here today. We sit here with our finger and we wag our finger at Vladimir Putin over in Russia. And we say, you know, bad you. Shame on you and stuff. But just the other day, Putin made a declaration and said the fall of America is going to be because they kicked God out of the nation. That even the heathens understand the principle and the concept of God. Oh, come on, church. It's not time to be weary in well-doing. Amen. It's not time to look at other things. It's not time to look at secular things. It's not time to be carnal. It's not time to be worldly. It's time to fire up. Amen. As I look at this, Brother Gavin, amen, I'm saying it's not long and Jesus is coming after me and you. I want to be ready. No more sorrows, no more pain, no more crying, no more tears, no more heartache, no more pressure, no more stress. I am looking for that glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. One of these days, the stress, the pressure, and the temptation is going to be over. It's going to be over. And I'm simply asking you today, are you going to survive until that day? Let's stand here this morning. So many people give in because they get tired of fighting. We got to fight the good fight of faith.
was reading in the book of Acts today, Paul was speaking. And he said, you know what? He said, I've got to continue to fight that I may keep the faith. That I may keep the faith. Every day it was something new. Every day it was something else. Every day it was something. The only easy day was yesterday. Amen. Amen. Preacher, if you knew what my day was yesterday, you wouldn't have called it easy. It's only going to get worse and worse. Constant pressure. Constant pressure. Devil knowing he has but a short time. Because once the trumpet sound, it's over. So it's constant pressure. Daniel, turning 14 tomorrow? Son, it don't get any easier. Every day. Every day. Constant pressure. Constant pressure. You may have had the Holy Ghost for 40, 50, 60 years. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if you've had the Holy Ghost for a week, a year, 10 years, 50 years. Devil's got a bullseye painted on you. He said, I got a short time. I got a short time to get them. I would venture to say that before you put your feet on the floor from getting up from bed, your voice needs to, your mind needs to have a thought of God. God, help me through this day. The devil's going to war against your mind, against your body, against your flesh, against your belief system, your core values. Everything is open game to the devil. He don't take a day off. He'll war against you even while you sleep. I want to be ready. I want to make my calling and election sure. And while I'm staying here on earth, and the devil is fighting with such a ferocity against us, because he knows Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And he's battling your mind, and he's saying, you don't really believe that. You don't really believe that. And calling into question all kinds of doctrinal beliefs and all things in your mind and stuff. You don't really believe that. It doesn't. Do you really believe that all of those people out there in the world are going to be lost? Come on, that don't even make sense. Battling your mind. Trying to wear you down. Trying to get you so focused. Problems, dilemmas, stress, worries, pressures, cares of the day, you name it. Everything. That you feel overwhelmed. Feel like you're going to give in. That we don't recognize the signs of the times. Oh, I've got time. I've got time. I've got time. You don't have time. You don't have time. You need to make your calling and election sure. I want to be saved. I want to be saved. Oh. I wonder what the last one felt like as they stood there at the ark, contemplating getting on or staying off. Everybody else laughing and mocking. And as they watched the door begin to go up, I wonder how it felt when the resignation hit. As the door closed, they turned around and walked away. I wonder how they felt. I wonder how good they felt. I wonder how appeased they felt when the first drops of rain began to fall. And the people that ran back to the ark began to beat on the ark and say, "Noah, we believe you now. Noah, we believe you now. Noah, open up. Noah. Noah! Open up! Noah, give me another chance. The day of the Lord shall come. The dead in Christ, they are going to rise. And we which are alive and remain, not just alive, but remain steadfast, unmovable, keeping on, remain, shall be caught up together, the clouds with them, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Paul said, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." And today I simply say, he's coming soon. He's coming soon. If that comforts you, you can find joy in it. But if that causes your heart to palpitate a little bit, skip a beat, if that causes your heart to kind of pause a little bit, you need to be in this altar. It's time to come to an altar. These altars are open here this morning. You need to make your calling and election sure. Come on, it's time. It's time. It's time. It's time. It's time. Preacher, that's not the popular message of 20 and 23. It wasn't the popular message in Noah's generation either. It wasn't the popular message in Jonah's generation either. It's not ever going to be the popular message unless you're in the church. But nevertheless, it is the message. It is the true message. He is coming. He is coming. He is coming. Are you going to yet remain? Are you still going to be a part of the church when he comes? Say, "Well, what if he doesn't come in my lifetime?" He's coming after a bride that hath made herself ready. The dead in Christ are going to rise at some point in time. He is coming. He is coming. He is coming. You need to be ready. You need to be ready. Hallelujah. You cannot live like you want to live and be ready for the kingdom of God unless you're living according to the Bible ways. You cannot make up your own rules and regulations and be saved when he comes. You must be born again of water and the Spirit. That's the only way. That's the only way. I wish to a degree, I wish there was another way. I would sign up at Walmart to be the greeter. I would give it all away. I would give salvation away by the bucket loads. But I can't force anybody to be saved. I can't force anybody to change their life. I cannot force anybody to repent of their sins. I cannot baptize anyone who does not want to be baptized in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. I cannot fill anybody with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I cannot do that. But I can introduce you to a God that can do that. I can introduce you to a God that'll wash all of your sins away if you'll just repent of your sins. if you'll tell him, God, I'm sorry for everything that I've done wrong in my life. And God, I'm not going back to those sinful things. God, I'm ready to live right. I'm ready to do right. I'm ready to be right. God, I repent. I repent of everything that I have done wrong. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry for the sin that I have committed. I'm so sorry, God, for all that I have done in sin. I repent today. Would you forgive me? Would you forgive me of all of my sins? I can't introduce you to a God that says, yes, I'll forgive you of all of those sins. I'll wash you and I'll cleanse you. I'll forgive you of everything that you've done wrong. I cannot force you to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, but I can show you in the Bible that that's the only way. The only way throughout all of Scripture, that is the only way that anybody was ever baptized. As a matter of fact, baptism formula of Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen, wasn't until 325 AD. It was totally defunct before that. Nobody did that. And the people that did that were the birth of the Catholic Church. You can find that history in the Catholic Encyclopedia. They changed the mode of baptism. Jesus said, you got to be born again of the water. Jesus said, baptize them in my name. Jesus said that remission of sins would be preached in his name. Peter said, you must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Paul said, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus. Paul said, we are buried with him in baptism. Paul told the Ephesians church, in whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named after. We've got that name. We've got that name. The name that was applied at baptism. Preacher, I don't think that it really matters. It doesn't really matter what I think, and it doesn't matter what you think. What matters is what the Bible teaches, because that's what we're going to be judged out of. We're going to be judged out of the Bible. And I can tell you that if you'll be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, all of your sins are going to be washed away. Until then, you've just got wet. But when you go down in the saving name of Jesus, he'll wash all of your sins away. And I can promise you that when you've repented of all of your sins and you've been baptized in that lovely name, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, because you must be born again of the Spirit. Jesus said, if you believe on me, as the scripture has said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Thus spake he of the Spirit. It'll happen. It'll happen. You're going to be ready for his return? Are you going to be ready for his return? There is no other way. There is no other way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the door. And if any man come any other way, he is a thief and a robber. Jesus looked around at the marriage supper and he said, who is that man without the wedding garments? He said, bind him up, cast him out, where there is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. There is no other way. I want to be saved. I want to be saved. Preacher, I've got time. I've got time. I pray that you have time. I do. I pray that you have time. But why put off? Why put it off? Because it may be morning. It may be night. It may be noon. It may be today. It may be tomorrow. Maybe this month, it may be next year. I don't know the day nor the hour. You can get in your Bible and you can study everything out, and you can get to the place that you feel like you know exactly at what point in time that he's coming. You can be so focused on the future that you fail to ever get saved.
What does it profit a man if he gained the whole world? What does it profit a man if he have all knowledge?
Oh, I must be saved. Come on, church, let's pray.